Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Weissoon. If you enjoy real-world hunting and fishing talk, you're really going to enjoy listening to my good friend, Luke Clayton, and his guest for the next hour.
This is Dustin Vaughn Warnke, producer of this fine show that's been airing for the past 20 years. Welcome to Outdoors with Luke Clayton and Friends. Luke has been a recognized outdoor writer for the past four decades and writes for a whole host of outdoor publications. Luke pens a weekly outdoors column that appears in over 50 Texas newspapers, and he's lived the outdoor lifestyle since childhood. Luke partners with such companies as Pyramid Air, the ultimate source for air guns and outdoor essentials, CVA muzzleloaders, and their fine line of CVA Cascade centerfire rifles, Smokin' Tex electric smokers, ATN thermal scopes and binoculars, the Choctaw Hunting Lodge in southeast Oklahoma, owned by the Choctaw Nation, Butcher Packer Supply, everything for the home, butcher, and sausage maker, the Dallas Safari Club at biggame.org, and the Saskatchewan Department of Tourism. Now, here's Luke to kick things off with his longtime friend, Larry Weissoon.
Well, thank you, Mr. Weissoon, and Mr. Guru, Dustin Warnke. I have nicknamed Dustin Guru because he is a computer guru. Larry, are we ready to talk and visit and have some fun here on our segment that we've been doing about 20 years?
It's hard to believe it's been that long, Luke, but I've enjoyed every moment. And absolutely, you're right. You know, it is 4th of July, or very close to that time when people hear this. And it's our 250th anniversary of our nation. And, you know, we're so very proud to be citizens of the USA when you get right down to it, for the, you know, and appreciate all those folks who in the past have gotten us to where we are today when you get right down to it. You know, and I was thinking about this as I was having coffee this morning. You and I are almost, when you individually, we've lived almost a third of that time. It's hard to believe when you think about it. You know, we think in terms of a long, long time. 250 years is a long time ago, but when you think in terms of lifetimes, you know, it hadn't been that many years ago when you get right down to it. So it's amazing where this country has come to, and where I'm sure where we're going to go to in the future. And of course, you know, I want to wish everybody the happiest and the safest of 4th of July events. You know, I know there's going to be a lot of celebrations, a lot of different places. And I think our celebration may be to kind of kick back a little bit and spend time with the family more than anything else. So, but you know, there's a lot of other stuff going on too. While we're thinking about, we need to thank DSC, Conservation Education, Hunter Advocacy, Hornady, Accurate, Deadly Dependable. We'll come back to that a little bit. Stealth Vision, some of the finest scopes there are to be had anywhere in the world, and binoculars and a whole lot of other stuff that they're coming out with too. And so, Taurus, you know, I love shooting those Taurus Raging Hunter handguns. Choctaw Hunting Lodge, oh my God, I can't wait to get back up there. And we got a new sponsor coming on board too, AgriLife, which we'll talk a little bit about that a little bit more in the future. Mr. Bob Winfrey's gotten us involved there. And we'll talk about that some other time, like the next time we get together. But yep. My gosh, July. Not that far away from hunting seasons. Got all kinds of stuff coming up here in just a matter of next couple of weeks as well, too.
You know, you're right, Larry. You're talking about, you know, we're still in the course of things, looking at the whole world. We're a young country still.
Oh, my gosh,
I've been to a few foreign countries, and I don't think there's many that you probably haven't been to. But you go to, I remember when I was in Japan, there's some old stuff there. I mean, you know, they've been there forever. Places like that, and in Europe, places that are that withstood a couple of world wars and are still there. Yeah, so United States is still a young country and got a lot of good stuff ahead, but we won't get into all that. We're all waving the flag today, by golly. I'm just proud so proud to be here, put it that way.
Amen.
Yep. So we do have a lot of fun stuff coming up. Something fun that we just did, folks, I think it warrants us talking a little bit about it. we joined our friends, Edgar and David Cotton in Kaufman County. They have a ranch, Edgar does, and David is his son. They're a team. They work together on just about everything.
Sir.
And Larry and I and Jeff Rice and Rick Lambert, that's Miranda's dad. Become a good friend. I've been friends with Larry a long time, but Rick's he's a hoot. I enjoy visiting with Rick. But so we were fit. They have about a 25-acre lake there that they're managed for trophy bass, largemouth bass. And there's a dock out there, and they – if you have bass, you have to have food for bass. So they've got brim stocked in there, sunfish, all kind of perch, Larry and I used to call them. Right, Larry? They were known as perch.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Anyway, so I brought a fly rod, and we had some light tackle and some worms, and I had a little spinner, a little bitty MEP spinner. But I was so impressed with Rick. Rick stays busy, and he told me I haven't had a chance to fish, and he's retired now, you know, from his wine company or wine store and all that, making his wine there at Lindale. And I don't think I've seen a grown man have more fun in that fishing in a long time, you know.
You know what he kept saying? He said, you know, I'm going back to the time when I was an 8-year-old kid when I was fishing with a cane pole. He was using actually your fly rod, and it smelled like a cane pole. And
right,
of course,
right.
That particular lake is they do such a great job, the Cotton family does, when it comes right down to it, in terms of making sure that there's more than ample forage for those growing bass that they have in there. And oh my gosh, we actually ended up catching some. They've got their own brood pens, or I'm calling it pens, brood ponds for forage fish.
Yeah.
I had one that was they just released a whole bunch of tilapia in, and then we caught a bunch of the bluegill and put them in the other pond where it's set up primarily for bluegills as well too. And so beyond that, had a great opportunity to do a bunch of other stuff, and particularly in terms of more visiting, but really got tickled with watching Rick fish, and I mean, all of us caught fish. Wasn't any question about it. I mean, it was just every time you drop a hook in the water, you know, there were pretty much something was going to bite, from a, you know, something a little bit bigger than a minnow to you know, bluegills that were larger than my hands, and my hands were pretty darn big. So
about the size of a catcher's mitt, folks, you know. Yeah, they are. So yeah, they were, but they were some big ones, weren't they? I mean, some nice ones. I don't know, some of those larger brim, the first one I caught, I hate to brag, maybe he wasn't spooked yet. I caught one that literally, I bet that rascal was close to 8 inches long, big old. That, but we did catch a bunch of like 6 inches. The one mistake that I made, I've considered myself somewhat skilled in this kind of stuff, but I knew we were going to eat some of these or fix them up, you know, a few of them for Rick to take home and eat. Nothing better than brim or bluegills. I mean, they are so good.
Oh man,
you know, but a mistake that I made. I've got a little Rapala, a wooden handle, small bladed fillet knife. I should have brought that, because it's like doing surgery even on a big brim when you're filleting with a big knife. We got it done. We did. But all through that, I said, why didn't I bring my – this little knife is not over – probably handle and all is not over 8 inches long. But, man, next time we do it, you can really do some fine filleting with that little bitty blade, you know? So – anyway, we got it done. We scaled some. The little ones we scaled, and they're good like that, sunfish or brim, cooked with the tail on, by golly, you know?
Yeah, I think that's what Rick kept talking about. I filleted some of the bigger ones out. So, you know, there's some people don't like bones in their fish, we wanted to make sure that I went through there and made sure there were no bones in the fillets that we sent home with Rick. And then, like you mentioned, he scaled some. Of course, that's how I grew up eating fish.
Me too.
That way. But, you know, the fishing was absolutely fantastic. We spent a little time Hunting seasons are not that far away. We looked at some right before you got there. We went down into the pastures and looked at some spots where we're going to set up some new blinds, kind of out in the middle of nowhere when you get right down to it, in that part of the country right there, and back in a big chunk of woods that really hadn't been hunted for, gosh, I have no idea. I know it's not been hunted as long as the Cotton family's had it.
No.
So it probably goes back, 10, 15 years for anybody really went back in there. But so we looked at some things like that, and that's a good thing to be doing this time of the year and getting ready. And then too, I need to remind folks, back in 1985, Gary Mates and Murphy Ray and I started Texas Wildlife Association, and it has become such a fantastic organization in the state of Texas, having anything to do with wildlife and landowners and any of that kind of thing. And we've got our convention coming up here it's probably next weekend, actually. It's like the 9th, 10th, 11th, and morning of the 12th. And they're at the J.W. Marriott in San Antonio. It's going to be a trade show as well this year. We've got like 40-some-odd booths, and there'll be day passes that they're essentially all got to show up and say, hey, I want to go through the booths, and they'll kind of take you from there. But and then of course we got the week in between, but then the fall, like the 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, well, you and I'll be up at Dallas and at the Grapevine at the resort up there, the Gaylord Texan Resort,
for
the DSC summer show. And God, we got like 500 booths coming up, be there, and all kinds of great things. I'll be there to visit with folks as well too. And if they want to learn more about Texas wildlife, they can go to www.texas-wildlife.org. And if they want to learn a little bit more about the Dallas Safari Club, the DSC, or the DSC Foundation, they can go to www.biggame, that's biggame.org, or the DSC Foundation, which is www.dscf.org. And those are pretty much volunteer organizations when you get right down to it. So not a whole lot of money goes into anybody's pocket. It goes to conservation and the good things that we need to do to continue to enjoy the outdoors, such as we have in the past and at the present, and darn sure want to keep that in the future.
You bet. And Larry, the deer here close to the house, I've got actually two trail cameras out. These fawns are up and on the prowl. I've seen some, they're up with their mothers moving right now. They're no longer hid in the grass, So antler development is coming along. I've seen some.
Oh, man.
This area where I live is kind of known for some big bucks. It really is. There's quite a few. The deer numbers are pretty high. It's Kaufman County where I live, But I've seen some. Those antlers are sprouting out pretty good right now. So they will be a buck's antlers by as far as the length and the width, the maturity, by what, August? They're going to be pretty much what they're going to be, aren't they, Larry?
Right. We're getting probably about anywhere from half to two-thirds in certain areas grown right now. And usually by about the middle to the latter part of August, those antlers will be totally formed as to kind of what they're going to do. You can tell when you look at them, if they're still kind of bulbous at the tips, they're still growing. But once they start pointing out at the tips, that's about what you're going to get, or their bucks are going to produce that year. And so now's a good time to really get out there, and particularly if you're looking for a buck that you've seen in the past. And then, of course, the best time to hunt one of those bucks that you know something about is going to be that earliest opportunity, which is generally bow season, not just here in Texas where we live, but in a lot of other places as well, too. And, we're not that far away from hunting season when you get right down to it. I like in the low country of South Carolina, their season will open August the 15th. And, and in Texas, it'll be the tail end of September, and then there's all kinds of other dates scattered in between, and all the other things that are coming up for hunting, such as elk and, oh my gosh, mule deer,
yep,
black bear, and good gosh, there's all kinds of things. Plus the bird hunting coming up.
That's right.
Too.
It won't be long, and the days right now are getting shorter, just a little bit shorter every day of daylight. It is. Well, Larry, speaking of of time, we are out of it. Need to wrap our segment up, but thank you so much for being with us. And next week, I've got a little catfishing talk, and I've got a trip that you were busy, you couldn't make it, coming up Texoma with Chris and Bill Carey. We'll talk about that a little bit next week. So you be safe, and I'm already looking forward to our next visit, buddy.
Me too.
Well, friends, Mr. Larry Wysoon is going to tell you about the finest hunting optics that we have ever found.
Luke, these are called Stealth Vision. They come from Crockett, Texas. Dr. John McCall developed them. They're 34-millimeter tubes as opposed to the narrower tubes, so more light transmission. They have a little green light that comes on. That scope is leveled because that's when you want to pull the trigger. They have an optional lighted reticle as well, too, and a whole lot of other products. And folks can learn more about them by going to stealthvision.com.